Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up in about 7 minutes, Governor Pataki is going to make an announcement, and it is expected to be that he will not seek a fourth term as governor next year. Now, there is speculation that this might be because he wants to run for president of the United States. And just to give you a programming heads up, we are going to take Governor Pataki's announcement here on WNYC, and so we will delay the beginning of the Leonard Lopate show a little bit. After the governor speaks, we'll do some analysis on our AM station, AM 820, as Leonard gets started on 93.9. But on both our frequencies, we will cover Governor Pataki's announcement at noon live for at least a few minutes, delaying the beginning of the Leonard Lopate show. And with me now to preview the governor's announcement is the state editor of the New York Post, Fred Dicker, who joins us live from Albany. Hi, Fred. Well, thanks for coming back on WNYC today.
My pleasure, Brian. In the background, you may hear some cheering. Apparently, I'm right on the third floor of the Capitol, right above the governor's office, and apparently the governor just emerged. He's got a huge claque of supporters waiting for him as he walks to what's known as the Blue Room here for his announcement, and there are some of the loudest cheers I've ever heard. I guess it's all the people who've been on the payroll for a long time saying thank you to him as he's about to announce that he's not going to be around too much longer.
So is this a retirement announcement or a campaign kickoff?
Well, it'll probably be some of both. I don't think too many people, even those close to the governor, Brian, take his pretensions to the presidency too seriously. I think he's going to try to go out there, as he has been, testing the waters, but the likelihood that he's going to find those waters acceptable and suitable for his type of what he says is Republicanism are pretty doubtful, I think.
What he says is Republicanism.
Well, because nobody else that believes the guy is a Republican. I mean, the way he's survived here in New York the last two terms is by transforming himself into a Democrat. The reason he's deciding, in my judgment, not to run again is because he can't win again, that he's at the end of the line of a political tactic that kept him going, but it can't keep him going any longer.
Funny enough, he's probably got a lot of disaffected Democrats in New York as well as disaffected Republicans, you think?
Well, sure, but I think Democrats feel pretty good about the likes of Eliot Spitzer and Hillary Clinton, but the Republicans aren't feeling too good about their prospects these days, and that's part of the governor's legacy. He's got a Republican Party that's in collapse in New York.
Why does he think, why might he think that, given the trends of the National Republican Party in recent years, that a George Pataki Republican, such as he is, even has a chance of winning the nomination?
Well, Brian, he may not think that. He, loads of accounts, loves campaigning, and he's been using a political action committee that he created in Virginia to collect huge sums of money that would be illegal for him to collect here in New York to finance his lifestyle, traveling around the country, giving some speeches, and paying his consultants. So there are some people who quite cynically, but, you know, when it comes to politics, being cynical isn't necessarily being wrong, who cynically believe the governor may be doing this just to raise money and to keep a good thing going for a while because he enjoys campaigning and likes to see his name in lights.
If he has a lot of money left over at, you know, a theoretical point where you drop out of a presidential race, does he get to keep that money?
No, both at the state level and at the federal level, it's illegal to pocket directly campaign funds. However, you can use it to fund travel, political contributions, charitable contributions, put somebody in your family on a payroll to run the operation. There are ways to get at that money, but you can't directly pocket it.
I've heard some speculation that maybe he's not really running for president, but really running for vice president on the theory that if he gets his name out there at, you know, the beginning of the presidential campaign when there are a lot of candidates in it, then eventually when Bill Frist or somebody like that gets the nomination, they'll balance the ticket by picking a liberal Republican from New York and even go after the Empire State's electoral votes in that way.
Well, there's no evidence at all that George Pataki can deliver the Empire State. Rudy Giuliani has a far better chance of being the VP candidate than George Pataki. Why anybody would want to pick Pataki as a running mate, it seems to me it would be very difficult to come up with an explanation for. The only reason you pick a running mate and when you're running for president is to try to deliver one or more states. And as I noted, there's no evidence that George Pataki, who in the last polls here in New York is incredibly unpopular, no evidence that he can deliver New York.
So talk about the Pataki legacy a little bit. Where would you start?
Well, you would start in the first term when he ran in 1994 as the antithesis to Mario Cuomo. He presented himself as kind of a Newt Gingrich type Republican who was going to transform the state, make it competitive again, bring a conservative agenda to a state government that hadn't seen one in many, many years, going back to probably Tom Dewey. And then a few years later, he started to transform himself, and over the years, he developed correctly a reputation for being kind of an ersatz Democrat who in his final terms wound up spending more money, increasing state spending at a more rapid pace than Mario Cuomo ever did. He alienated his conservative base. He left the Republican Party in shambles with the defeat of Dennis Vacco and the defeat of Al D'Amato, the elections of Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton. We reach a stage now where the state, in order to survive, is engaged in budgetary practices that we thought were going to be banned as a result of the fiscal crisis. He's involved in a lot of gimmicky budget processes. He's had some of the most dysfunctional state government we've ever seen. And state government now has a reputation for corruption and pay-to-play kinds of exchanges in this huge lobbying culture that's been created here that has to be laid at his doorstep.
Really? That didn't predate Pataki?
No. When Cuomo left office in 1994, $40 million a year was being spent on lobbying. Today it's over $120 million. The culture here changed dramatically under the pressure of people Pataki brought into office who then became lobbyists themselves.
And I see on a monitor that we have the governor walking down an aisle in the state capitol, shaking the hands of many of those cheering supporters you were talking about before. And so I guess momentarily he will begin this announcement. Is it going to be a news conference? Will he take questions from the likes of you?
Our understanding is, I just spoke to a colleague who's at the event itself, is that they're not going to take questions, which will be quite a surprise if that's the case. He was told that the governor would speak for 5 or 6 or 7 minutes and then leave. We don't know for sure, but that's an early indication of what's going to happen.
Interesting. And again, to give our listeners a heads up, we are about to bring you a live statement from Albany by Governor George Pataki. He's expected to announce that he will not run for a fourth term as governor. He may announce that he's forming a committee of some kind, or however they put it these days, to explore a run for the presidency. The Leonard Lopate Show will start a little bit late so that we can bring you this. My guest, as we wait for the governor to begin his statement, is Fred Dicker, state editor for the New York Post. Fred, do you expect him to say anything one way or the other about the presidency if he's not asked by a reporter?
No, I think, though, we do expect him to allude to it. That's what he did last night in his private meeting with supporters. He talked about this is not going to be the last. We may work together, so stay tuned. I think we'll hear something like that, leaving his options open, but without presenting anything explicit.
Why do you think he made the transition that you were describing before?
Yeah.
I remember the first Pataki State of the State address and followed shortly by the budget address where, if I remember correctly, the state budget at that time was about $50 billion a year, and he actually proposed a slight decrease in that first year in real terms, even, you know, outside of inflation,
right,
an actual decrease. And now we've seen it mushroom into, over $100 billion.
Yep.
How did George Pataki, who seemed to come in with that as his core belief, metamorphose into the George Pataki we've seen the last few years?
He became convinced by his political consultants that he could not win re-election in 1998 unless he changed his orientation, that this state was going heavily Democratic, more than they had anticipated, that they could face a very difficult re-election challenge, that Al D'Amato, who was running that same year in 1998, was in big trouble, that they had to change their stripes and reach out to voters who hadn't supported them, that is to say the Mario Cuomo, a more liberal Democratic constituency. So starting in 1997, when Pataki did a flip-flop on New York City rent control, he began to recast himself to the point by 2002, as we know, that he made these extraordinary deals with Dennis Rivera and the Hospital Workers Union and the Teachers Union in New York City, where literally billions of dollars in state money were committed to unions and union-oriented types of programs in order to guarantee that he would get the endorsement of those unions and facing Carl McCall in 2002. There is no question that it was a calculation born of a belief that he couldn't win re-election any other way.
This is FM 90. This is New York Public Radio, WNYC FM and AM New York, and WNYC.org. George Pataki going to the podium in the state capitol. Let's go live and hear what he has to say.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, and thank you for that great reception. That was my daughter, Emily, by the way. A few months after September 11th, someone gave my daughter, Emily, an old photograph. It was a picture of my father, a volunteer firefighter in Peekskill at the end of a ladder with flames shooting through the roof of a building just a few feet in front of his face. I've come to treasure this photo because it reminds me not only of where I came from, but why I ended up here. As a postman, farmer, and a family man, my dad had his hands full. But he always had time for a kind word, a neighborly gesture, or to lend a helping hand as a volunteer in our community. My dad made me realize that at the end of each day, the best thing you can feel is that somehow during that day, you've made life a little better for your family, for your neighbors, and for your community. In this quiet way, by example, really, I learned the source of the strength of New York. It is the people who give it strength, going about their daily lives, working, playing, raising their families, but always giving something back to their neighbors, the people I've called our quiet heroes. When you grow up with that belief, the best job you could ever have would be to serve the public good. And in New York, there's no better opportunity to serve than as your governor. You've given me that privilege three times over, a job that I love, a responsibility I've embraced, and an office that I've been honored to hold for the past 10 and a half years. Your help, your dedication, your trust has given me the tremendous honor and privilege to serve as your governor. I thank you for that honor, and I thank you for that privilege. Through the years, we've overcome challenges and tragedy. Together, we've done some amazing things. Beginning in 1995, when we worked together to reinvigorate our economy, improve our quality of life, and restore the spirit of hope. Then through the dark days of September 11th, when we stood together to face unprecedented human tragedy and answered hatred with heroism, cowardice with courage. And in the days, months, and years that followed that terrible day, when we were confronted with new economic and fiscal difficulties, the likes of which had not been seen since the Great Depression, we have overcome challenges not seen in generations. And yet today, we can look forward to tomorrow with the confidence and the optimism we're entitled to feel as New Yorkers, as residents of this great state and the greatest nation the world has ever known. Today, we have more opportunity and less welfare than we did in 1995. Today, New York has safer streets and less crime. Today, New York has more jobs and lower taxes. Today, we have higher education standards, record school aid, and the STAR program to help lower school property taxes. And today, we have almost 1 million acres more of open space, cleaner air, and cleaner water than we did in 1995. Together, we have changed the fundamental direction of this state to one that empowers the individual and not the government. New York is a different state, a better state than it was 10 years ago. We've done a lot together. And yet there is always more to do. But there's one thing I've understood from my very first day in public office, that as elected officials, we are only temporary stewards of the people's trust. So today, with pride in our accomplishments, enduring enthusiasm for New York's future, and heartfelt gratitude to its people, I am announcing that I will not seek another term as your governor. I want to, first of all, thank Libby, who has stood by me and worked with me as we set out on this challenging journey. And to Emily, Teddy, Allie, and Owen, and my entire family who were with me from my early days as mayor, you've allowed me to pursue my desire for public office, and I know it comes at enormous personal sacrifice. And to my mom, who is with us today, with Dad, you instilled that belief in public service in me. Thank you. And thank you to all of the best family the world could ever have. There are others who have sacrificed, the people in this room, and the thousands of others across this state who stood beside me in government and in my campaigns throughout these past years. You are the people who made New York the Empire State again. You've made us proud, and New York thanks you. But to me, my greatest thanks are owed to the people of New York, because it is your faith and your passion that gave me this extraordinary privilege. And it is your continued confidence and commitment that allows me to stand here today as our nation's longest serving governor. Soon it will be time for another New Yorker to lead this state, the state that you and I love, and to use his or her talents to try to make our neighborhoods and our families and our communities just a little bit stronger. But first, let me say this to the people of New York. I have another year and a half to serve as your governor. Every day, I'm going to continue to do my very best to try to make New York a better, safer, cleaner, and stronger state than when we first started together. Working together, we've made extraordinary progress and overcome unspeakable adversity. And all along, I was able to do the job because you believed in me. In a year and a half, I will be able to leave this office confident in the future of our great state because I believe in you. In the meantime, we're going to keep this state moving forward. And come 2007, I will follow a new path, find new challenges, knowing that I am leaving the state we love in the best hands possible, yours. May God bless the people of New York State. Thank you for this extraordinary privilege. Thank you for the honor. And now, let's not waste a day. Let's get back to work. God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Governor George Pataki, live on WNYC, and you now have a choice. We're about to begin the Leonard Lopate Show, as usual, on 93.9 WNYC. We will stay here and bring you some analysis of the governor's announcement and what it means for him and for New York with WNYC's Andrea Bernstein on AM 820 WNYC. So the choice is yours. Leonard coming up in 60 seconds on 93.9, or we'll talk about gubernatorial and even presidential politics on WNYC AM 820 and WNYC.org.